Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Our speaker today is the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar of St. James, and we continue our series on the Holy Spirit. Today our talk is entitled, Here I Am, Send Me. The readings this week are taken from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, and Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 8. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Matthew completes his gospel by giving the account of prime importance, the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went up to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe is me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing before you, God. Amen. Oops. No. It's a little bit late. There we go. So meet Shane Taylor. At one point, he was known as one of the most dangerous prisoners in the whole of UK. He'd been on the run for two separate accounts of attempted murder. When in prison, he took a hostage, stabbed two prison officers, and orchestrated riots. In a maximum security prison, he was locked up in solitary in a special cell with only cardboard furniture and allowed no human contact. Every time he was moved out of this cell, it took 7 officers to with shields and full riot gear. And even then, he nearly killed one of those officers. He was later moved to Long Larton, another prison, and there a church minister came to visit and invited him to try Alpha. A few months later, Shane was told to go to the education block. He walked in and found it was actually the Alpha course. He didn't really want to take part, but signed up for it anyway because there was coffee, biscuits, and cake. Last session was on the Holy Spirit, and they prayed for everyone. And a minister called Eddie Barker laid hands on Shane and asked him to come back a little bit later for a chat. And Shane agreed. He read passages in the Bible to show how we all need God's grace and mercy, showing him from the Epistle to the Romans that no one is righteous. All has fallen short from the glory of God, from his desire and intentions, but that God had demonstrated his great love for us in this, while we were still in rebellion, sinners, Christ died for us. God made him, Jesus, who had no sins, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And Eddie invited Shane to pray honestly from his heart. And this is what Shane said in his prayer: God, if you are real, come into my life, because I hate who I am. And at first, nothing happened, but as they continued talking, something began to stir. Shane felt a strange sensation deep in his stomach. It kind of bubbled up through his chest, and then tears filled his eyes. And suddenly, this hardened, violent man who had built his life on great violence sobbed like a child. He couldn't hold it in. And when he went back to his cell, Shane started telling everyone, Jesus is real. He died for me. I am free. I am forgiven. For that moment, for him, everything changed. Even when provoked, he responded differently. He began to see people through new eyes. He helped others and prayed for them. He was eventually released, got married, became a father to 5 children, and now travels to minister in prisons, starting with the very prisons where he was the most violent. Today I want to think about those 3 words: encountering, washing, and sending. Like Isaiah, Shane had that powerful encounter with God. Like Isaiah, Shane experienced the grace of being forgiven and set free from his guilt and shame. And like Isaiah, Shane became a messenger of God. Now, Isaiah wasn't a rebel. He wasn't running from God. He didn't live an immoral or violent life like Shane. He was actually God's chosen prophet, a spokesperson to the nation of Israel. And he had been faithful in proclaiming God's word. We hear in chapter 1 that his ministry started during the reign of King Uzziah. So he was already a prophet by the time we read about this great vision, because by then he gets the vision when this king dies. And if you read chapter 1 to 5, you can hear difficult words that Isaiah said to the people, especially confronting corruption in government and the hypocrisy in religion. And so we are in chapter 6, not at the start of his ministry, but within the time of his ministry. Isaiah was already a faithful man, a prophet, obedient to his call, devoted to speak God's truth. But nothing, no experience, no training, no devotion had prepared him for what came next. And so Isaiah encountered God, not just in theory, not just in his duty, but in the raw, overwhelming reality of God's majesty and holiness. And it shook him to the core. So we have that description of God in a setting compared to a royal palace with a throne. Isaiah finds himself into that reality where he sees a ruler, a king seated high above everything, radiant with power. And mysterious, awe-inspiring creatures surround him, calling out again and again, "Holy, holy, holy Lord." The Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory. And that's actually a small sentence, is what we say when we have communion. When we're going to have communion at some point, we'll pause and we'll say, "Holy, holy, holy God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of glory. Hosanna in the highest." That very same declaration that is constant in the heavenly realms. And we hear of ground shaking and of air thickens with smoke or we're not sure with what exactly, but the reality of God's presence. And it's not for him just a vision, it's a real encounter with that reality of God. And Isaiah feels completely undone. He cries out, "Woe to me, I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people with unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." In other words, if we put it in modern terms, he realized that he won't survive this. He too is messed up, his words and his thoughts. He himself is part of the problem, not the solution. And now that he has seen God, the real, holy, glorious God, there is no hiding. He's completely exposed. And there are moments in our own lives, sometimes unexpected, sometimes painful, when our view of God and ourselves is challenged. And in those times, we can no longer keep comparing ourselves to others. "Well, I'm not that bad. No, it's worse than me." We can no longer keep behind polished image or saying, "I'm doing quite fine." Even our carefully crafted humility falls apart. And in that moment, like Isaiah, we see with heartbreaking clarity who we really are. Not as we pretend to be, not as others see us, but as we stand before a holy yet loving God. Because it's that exact time, often in the raw and exposed honesty, that a new form of grace begins to take root. Because it's at this lowest moment for Isaiah, when all he could see was his own unworthiness and his failures, he looked up and he saw that strange creature called a seraph flying towards him, carrying a burning coal, taking from the altar and placing it on his lips. Probably it burned, but it did not destroy him. It was a picture of purification and healing and atonement. And it all sounds strange to us. But here it's what's happening in the Old Testament. If you're not too familiar, the time before Jesus, the altar was the place where sacrifices were offered. When someone had sinned, someone had transgressed one of the laws, they would bring an offering, like a lamb. They would place that animal on the altar, and that animal would die instead of the person. So it wasn't about cruelty. It was about justice, yet also mercy. That sacrifice was a symbol to show that the guilt of that person was placed on that animal, and that animal was taking that guilt on his behalf or her behalf. It was like saying, "This should be me there on that altar, but something innocent is taking my place so I can be forgiven. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. He became the final sacrifice, offering himself not on a stone altar, but on the cross. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what John the Baptist says when he sees Jesus. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Like the call, his sacrifice comes from God. The call was on the altar in the presence of God. Jesus comes from God. It's not something that we do. It's given, not earned. And it touches you where you are most unclean. Not just the lips, but the heart, the mind, the will, our whole being. Imagine you've broken something you can't fix. And you've done it willfully. And you've done it to one of your best friends. Maybe it's a rare piece of furniture. Maybe he had this amazing, expensive Persian carpet. And you just had a nice wine, but unfortunately, it dropped on that amazing carpet, red wine. Can you imagine the horror? You feel awful. You know you can't undo the damage, and you don't have the money to replace it or repair it. But then you see your friend comes and says, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it. I'll pay the cost. I forgive you." That moment when someone absorbs the cost themselves to restore a possible broken relationship, that's what we call atonement. And someone put it this way: atonement is at one ment. It's being made at one with God, not out of yourself, but because of a gift. Through Jesus' sacrifice, we are brought back into that relationship. We are made at one with God. Jesus Christ is the one who meant is past, meant is present. There we go. A little bit of grammar. Jesus pays the price to make things right. He becomes the sacrifice. He absorbs the cost of all our transgression and makes us right with God. That should change everything. That changed everything for Isaiah. After his guilt and shame were taken away, after the burning coal from the altar touched his lips, he stood in stunned silence, cleansed and forgiven. Then came the voice, "Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us?" And Isaiah responded, "Here I am, send me." He didn't volunteer because he was great or felt particularly qualified, not after that experience. He volunteered because he was forgiven. He had experienced mercy, and he had a message. And that's the pattern of the gospel. And that's what we have in our New Testament reading. After his resurrection, Jesus gathered his followers, ordinary people, forgiven sinners, people still growing in their faith, and he said, "Go and tell others to put into practice all that I have commanded you, what I have taught you, what you've seen from me, what I've shown you of my kingdom. Go, make apprentices, learners, disciples of all nations. And remember, all authority has been given to me on earth and in heaven. And I promise to always be with you." That's what we call the Great Commission. And it echoes that moment in Isaiah 6. Just like Isaiah, we don't go because we're perfect. We go because we've encountered grace. We go because our guilt has been removed. We go because our shame has been replaced with peace. We go because God's Spirit now lives in us transforming us from the inside out. We go because we are witnesses, not of our own goodness, but of God's grace in our life. You see, being a Christian isn't just about being forgiven, although that's important. It's not just about finding comfort in a local church, a church community, although that's great. Or keeping faith as something personal and private. No, being Christian is being sent. Every believer is called to say, in some form or another, there we go, here I am, send me. Now, most of the time, it doesn't mean going very far. Not like me, who kind of was sent from Belgium somehow, ended up here. Most of the time, it's about remaining local, but faithful. Often it means sharing your story at work or with your family or your neighbor or your friend. It's telling a hurting friend how God has helped you in the past. It's sharing with others what Jesus has done for you. And as you serve them with the abilities God has given you, God will open opportunities for conversations so that you can tell your story. Doesn't have to be Shane's story. Doesn't have to be that kind of amazing transformation. Has to be your story, what God has done for you. This is what God's mission is all about. It doesn't start with big strategies. It doesn't begin with pressure or guilt. It begins with grace, mercy. It flows from a heart that has seen something real of God's love. Yes, something of His holiness, but also something of His mercy and the change that feeling His love has made in our lives. And so we don't go just because there is a need. We go because we've seen, we've experienced Jesus. We go because we know we needed forgiveness. We're standing in His presence and we are known and we know we are loved. So the real question isn't what can I do for God or for the church? What can we do for God? I think the question is a bit more deep. It's more about what have I seen of God? What have I learned from Him? What mercy have I received? What difference has His grace made in my life and still is making in my life? And when you start answering those questions, then you're ready to say, Lord, thank you. Here I am, ready to share it with others. Send me. So how might that take shape in our lives this week? Well, it could be as simple and as powerful as this. This week, maybe take a moment with one person, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, and shared maybe a prayer that was answered. A moment when you felt peace in the middle of chaos. How in God you find purpose and hope and strength. And it's not all about the easy things in life. It can be the difficult things, but how you know God is still with you. You don't need to preach. You just need to share what's true. You just need to be a witness. And that's where the mission begins. It's one story, one conversation at a time. And remember, that's the best part. When you say, here I am, send me, God doesn't send you alone. He sends you with His Holy Spirit, Spirit of power, Spirit of grace. He will give you the ability to share that message of grace to a world that desperately needs to hear it. So here we are. Lord, send us afresh. Let's pray. As I was preparing this morning again the song, Only by Grace Can We Stand. Not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. So Lord God, thank you for your mercy, for removing my guilt and my shame, and for filling my life with hope, peace, and purpose. I am changed by your grace. So, Lord, here I am, send me. Give me courage this week to share what you are doing in my life, to be a witness of your love. Open my eyes to someone who needs to hear, and open my mouth to say, this is what God has done for me. And as your people, Lord, send us out in the power of your Spirit. Amen.
And now Andy is going to lead us in our prayers.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.